philosophical questions.
Sorry.
Absolutely. What is a pant indeed?
What is a pant?
Trousers are two.
Trousers? You put on a pair of trousers or a pair of pants.
Mm. Yeah.
So what is a pant? Is it just a single sleeve? Leg sleeve.
A leg sleeve.
Yeah.
Mm. And where does it cross over? Does it cover the balls? Does it stay?
Is it just straight down the seam?
Dissect. That's it.
If it's a single leg sleeve, then that doesn't cover the kind of packet area.
Absolutely. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. So if you're a cut luncher, you're kind of half and half. Mm. But if you're a meat and potatoes person, you're going to have meat on one side, potatoes hanging out the other.
Yeah.
That could be a good
one. Or the other way around.
Is that?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Is that a third component we aren't quite ready to deal with?
Well, yeah. So it should be a triplet of pants.
Yeah, I agree.
A trio of pants.
Absolutely, I agree.
Sounds like a main course.
Now, I've got something else, which I don't know if it's a philosophical question. Mm. It's in that area. We can label it later if we like. So, where I live, there's a bakery. That's not the end of the story, by the way. It's and they have quite renowned pies at this bakery, right? They've won awards.
Oh, would you say world famous?
Well, my question is similar to Richard's question. Have they won awards, or are they stating of their own volition that they are the greatest pies in the world?
Oh, yeah. Okay. My understanding is that they've won awards, but I may be taking their word for that.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Need awards or not, they're fucking good pies.
Mm.
They're really great pies.
That's good.
Now, my issue is that whenever it's across the road from the train station, right, where I live. So at 7 in the morning or whenever, when I walk up there to catch the train, you get to a certain spot on the road and you just get this big pie waft coming out of the bakery.
Big PW straight out of the bakery hole.
Now, this is a positive. This is a PPW, right?
So a positive pie waft?
Yeah, positive pie waft. Yeah.
All right. Well, no, that's the problem.
NPW.
So at 7 o'clock in the morning... Oh. That pie guff is not hitting me in the face nicely. Okay? It does not smell good. Now, this is...
is it...
Wigo keeps putting his hand up like he needs permission to speak.
So, is there a mixture of different flavoured pies coming at you at the same time? So, you're getting a cheese and bacon and a beef curry... And maybe some sort of their favourite pie, whatever that might be, and it's a
supreme Wigo, by the way.
Is it?
Okay. It's everything.
We can talk about that later. but is it all of those smells coming at you at the same time?
No, it's just the beef smell. So I think it's just them doing a big vat of morning beef, and
but a vat of morning beef.
I'm doing that tomorrow.
So I think this is pre-assembling the pies. This is just making a big vat of the stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it smells awful. It makes my stomach turn. But the pies are delicious. So how can something so delicious come from such a heinous waft? That's my question to you. First up here.
That's a great question. And
now, is it just like your stomach, your nostrils have a time stamp on them?
I was going to say, is it a time of day?
Morning beef is just, it doesn't smell good. And you go back, if you went back at, say, 11, you'd be like, ooh, that smells pretty good.
Okay.
In the afternoon, it's kind of more good afternoon beef. Afternoon beef waft.
Can all the tradies be wrong? Into pies at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Well, they're up. I mean, I was going to say they're up early, but I forgot who I'm talking to.
I don't know. I don't think it's time-based, nostril pleasure. I think this is...
You think it'd be rank regardless of the time?
I think so. It's just the feeling I get. Now, I can't go back at 3 o'clock and check it because they're not making the stuff then.
But here's the question, Buckland. For all of us, I guess. Like, you take the pastry away from the pie, you've got that just gross meat with jelly and gravy and gristle. You've never just eaten that by itself. Like, you can have a bowl of pie.
Well,
that's true. Pie filling.
Well, just whole.
Well, you can.
You can.
Go, Wigger.
Well, have you not seen someone eat all the internal, like, pull the
not
top
the same.
Off?
Not, that's not what I'm talking about.
Eat the internals.
And pot pie? So when you've just got like some kind of, this is my pet hate in pubs, you ask for it, get a pie, and some bastards just put a pastry crust on top of a stew and calling it a pie. Yeah. It's like, drapery. That's not a pie, my friend.
Drapery.
No. It's not that. Or shepherd's pie. There's no pastry there. It's just a bit of potato on top of some slop.
Yeah, but anyway, you know what you're going to get with a shepherd's pie. There's an expectation there.
Yeah, you're ordering a potato lid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, what I would say to that, like, I did start by asking, is this philosophical? And you've pretty much said, you know, if a pie has no casing, is it a pie kind of thing? Mm. Or what is it? So I suppose that's right. Another thing.
Do you want a culinary answer, or do you want to just leave it at the philosophical response?
Well, I mean, you've probably got a... Well, I think the answer is yes, because there are, like you said, that other twats just putting bits of pastry on top of ramekins and calling them pies.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I think it also is... But, you know, there's the difference between... And this is possibly philosophical. There's a difference between cooked meat and cooking meat. So some meats, as it's cooking, give off a very different odour to once it's been cooked. So there are... And particularly, like, if you put your head over a big bowl of mince as it's cooking, it's not a very pleasant smell.
No, my wife's actually been cooked out. My wife, she doesn't eat, she's a vegetarian, but she often will say, is that meat off? And I'm like, no, it always smells. When it impacts with the heat, it gives off. Like, yeah, you're right.
It's that initial combustion, I think, like as it's cooking.
So if I caught a later train, there wouldn't be any problems, is essentially what you're saying. If I caught one that's half an hour earlier, it wouldn't be at the early stages of cooking and wouldn't turn
you're getting,
my stomach.
Exactly. I think you're getting at the meat is browning phase.
Yeah.
And that may be a slower process if they're
hour.
Doing...
it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Between 6:30 and 7:30, 6:30 and 7:30 is the browning hour at the bakery. Now, I need to remember that.
Now, the only thing that I could think would be an issue if you did catch a later train, Buckland, is that you'd probably gain a fair bit of weight. So the browning hour would be over and you'd actually go in and buy some pies.
You'd be popping in to get another pie.
A pie a day to have on the train. Now, here's the last thing, and maybe we'll leave this to consider for next time. Some days I don't smell the waft. Right? So what does that mean?
Sentence.
What does that mean? Are they planning on using yesterday's pies? The pies of yesterday?
Right.
Because that can't be cooking new if I'm getting no waft.
I mean, is there wind? Change of wind?
I ain't got no waft. Oh, I got the pies of yesterday.
Well, what about if...
They could do a big batch of meat. It's just a big batch of meat, and they cool that off, and they still make fresh pies, but they use the old filling. They might only do that once or twice a week.
Yeah, all right.
Would
that
be
makes
my assumption.
Okay.
Start diarising it, Buckland. You need to start, you know, working out.
Well, exactly.
Or maybe the pie man's late.
Mm.
Well, what I will do is on the days where I don't smell it, I'll make them cook me one fresh when I go in there.
Yeah.
And they'll give me a pie and I said, no, scoop all that out. Cook me something else up and put that in that casing, thanks.
I want some MPW before I eat my pie.
All right. And that's been the Pie Pod for this week. We're going to move on to Dad Pants now.
Pies, pies, pies.
Dad Pants, I'm Stu. The Pants Panel are there. Richard, let's hear from you.
Yo!
big bad Ben. How are you, fella?
I'm great, Stu. Thanks for having me.
And
hi.
Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I've been in the sun. It's been amazing.
How nice has it been?
Lovely. I was at a soccer carnival today with school.
Oh, nice.
Boy, saw some behaviour.
Oh, yes. Oh, not so good.
Oh, I just, you know, weird parents and I had
should have known you'd go to the parents.
weird. I mean, it was year 7 and 8 carnival, so a lot of weird behaviour from the students, but that's to be expected.
Yes.
But I had a parent complain that their son wasn't getting enough game time. It's about 4 minutes into the first game.
He's going to warm the bench all game, is he?
He just said, what about your subs? And I was like, what? She said, what about subs? We did just sub someone. Yeah, but my son's still sitting on the bench. And I got out my phone and I was, it's been 4 minutes. It's so
can
weird.
Can you please
go sniff on some pie waft and sit out?
Yeah.
Tell me you wore a suit. So you could be a real football manager on the sideline, just strutting around.
Whiteboard. Whiteboard, just weird. Weird people. We played against a team who they scored very quickly against us. We were a very, very young team. They were a very old team. And they scored very quickly against us, and they did a rehearsed celebration. They scored again probably 2 minutes later and did another rehearsed celebration.
Wow.
And they've got a repertoire.
The coach said, "Oi, do not do that again." And they're like, "Oh, okay." So they've been doing it in private, in secret. And he was like, "What are you doing, you idiots?"
Wow.
They all went down and rowed a boat. I was like, that's pretty funny, but it's pretty weird.
No one pulled out any ray gun moves as part of their celebrations.
That would have been, fantastic.
Surely that's on the cards.
Did the entire team get in the boat?
Yeah. No, it's like a 11 man, 10, I guess.
Yeah.
10 man crew.
So they had a cox.
Yeah. And a cox. Yeah, two cocks.
Two cocks.
8 man, 2 cocks.
How'd they get someone up in the crow's nest? That's what I want to know. All right. So we have for you in this show a story from Matt. That's going to come up next. We want to hear from Holiday Dad Wiggo about his real-time adventures. Matt is going on holiday too, so we want to hear about that prep. And if we get time, bullying. Was it okay for me to help my son out with some insults? So, that's on the menu. Matt, you said you had some content for us. I'm keen to hear it. What's going on?
So, I'm going to start this story by saying everyone is fine. There you go.
Oh, God, it's one of these.
Yeah, because as the story unfolds, you'll be like, oh. So, the phrase that all of us at our age, in our mid-40s, expect to hear from our parents was said to me this week, and that is, your father's had a fall.
Oh.
Right? Like I said, everything's fine. Yep. So that's why I started with that. Right? Right.
He's fine. He's still on the floor, but he's fine.
He's on the floor for a while. So I said, oh, okay. Like a fall? Like an old person fall. You know, he's mid-70s. And Mum said, no, I'll put you... And, of course, had to get Dad to tell the story because he likes to tell the story. And he goes, oh, so... we did our big grocery shop. So this is like the best dad, old dad story, right? So how did he have a fall coming home from shopping? He was carrying 8 or 9 bags at once.
A one-trip fall.
He's like 74. He's carrying... just every bag, right?
The beast.
I imagine myself doing that.
I said to him, I was like, I'm in my mid-40s. I don't do a one trip. That's dumb.
That's a 9 bag run. That's extremely
impressive. There'd be some milk in there. What? There'd be meat.
Yes, there'd be. This is what I said to Justine. There would have been a bag with about 4 or 5 bottles of cordial / whatever was on special.
The tomato bottles, bag.
Right? All in there. So He's bought them in nine. He's got a nine bagger.
How far did he get?
Yeah.
So he's come from the car, and so I thought, oh, the veranda's gonna would have copped him for sure. He's tripped on the veranda going up with nine bags. No, it was going into the house. He stepped on one of the bags. One of the nine bags. I'm guessing the one filled with 4 liter bottles of whatever.
Mm, yeah.
Right? And so then he's taken a tumble and...
Oh, no.
Basically tackled the TV stand. Like he's fallen sideways right. into the TV. He found a bruise like a few days later on his bicep, which means he was tackled.
Have the 10 logo on it?
Yeah.
Was the TV okay?
Yeah,
TV's fine. Exactly. Mum's not happy with the wall. Pushed the TV stand into the wall. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for telling us at the start that it's okay. Because because what you've just described has put an extremely comical picture in my head.
Exactly. Because my dad's famous for having comical falls. He once, while drunk, fell between the sink in the bathroom and the toilet and couldn't extricate himself. It's a very narrow spot. And he stumbled or slipped in between and couldn't get out. And so he had to call out to Mum, and then Mum couldn't help him up for ages because she was laughing at him too much. Anyway, so yeah. When I heard he'd fallen and he tripped over a bag, that's pretty great. But he clonked his head like a mofo. And it took him a while to get up. But anyway, I said, as Wigo noted, any damage to the tomatoes? And he said... Yeah. I did fall on 3 of them. And I said,
oh, no. Well, that's pasta bad. Sauce now.
Eat and he said, first. Yeah, it did mean I had to eat them right away.
So, while still on the floor.
While still on the floor. But yeah, apparently, he crashed into the TV. Mum just
stuck
was like,
between the wall
horrified.
And the television.
A horrific accident had just unfurled in front of her. She thought she'd have to get an ambulance. He thought he'd, like, cut his cheek open, but he'd only scratch it. Oh, it's just mayhem. But I just was like, I salute you, dad of dads.
Yeah,
at absolutely. 74, carrying 9 bags of shopping in.
Pulling a 9-bagger.
A 9-bagger.
It's worth the fall for the 9-bagger.
It makes you wonder how many 9-baggers he's attempted before.
This is the thing I've just realised what I've failed in the discussion I had with him. I really needed to ask him, what's your record?
Yeah.
I'll have to ask him.
I reckon he'd be well into double digits.
Oh, he'd have to be. He's a big man. He's a burly man. He could have done double digits.
Far out. Now, he's not just putting like one packet of Sayo per bag to try and get his numbers up, though. Like,
trying to get his averages up.
Oh, no, shit.
How dare you, Bunty?
No. All right, that's fine.
He's probably got plastic bags that are like stretching, you know, like taffy. They're so full, just slowly making their way to the floor. That's why he tripped over them.
Exactly.
He's got scars.
He's got
scars all the way up and down his arms from the old plastic bags.
Yeah, that's right. He's got no the circulation to ones. His fingers.
Yeah. Yep. Taffy bag Pete there.
See these scars. You don't get these carrying 8 bags.
I did a 14-bagger once.
So,
That's Pete over there in the corner asking for a 14-bagger.
So you said that your mum said that he'll want to tell you the story. Are you saying that he's now, like, quite happy he's got a story to tell?
Yes, 100%.
And is he getting into his work, getting into the... narrative?
Yeah. So that was much shorter than the story he told me. That was two weeks ago.
You don't pause.
No. Yeah, he does pause. My God, he pauses. But yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. So he'd had time to craft it, work on it,
nice.
Throw a few things in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decide on exactly the right number of tomatoes that need to be squashed for pathos.
Who had he tested the story on prior to calling?
Oh, that's a good question. He's probably run through it with Mum. He's probably bounced it off her a few times. What if I say this? What if I run in this angle?
Yep.
What about how big a pause should I leave between every word? All of that stuff.
He could have rung me.
When I reveal, do I talk about having... God, imagine that conversation.
Well, that's why Matt's doing his story first, we go, in case we don't quite get to...
That would be a podcast to listen to, the Dead Air podcast.
I mean, respectfully, Wigo, last episode I asked you to give us a quick update on what was on your snack shelf, and 5 minutes later the answer was still going. So that's why Matt tells his stories first.
Yeah, then we get out. All right, I'm done. That's it. So, yeah. Next time you go shopping, try being a 9-bagger. But don't clonk your fucking head into the TV cabinet and, bruise your arm up.
No, but it sounds like, the rules are whatever you crush, you eat while you're down there. So
that seems to be the case, yeah.
So, make sure you land on something delicious. All right. Well,
I think that should be a dad commandment, I think.
Oh, make sure you land on something. Make sure you land on something.
No, whatever you crush, you eat. Oh, started a small child. Well, you know the rules.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yep, that's
it. Get the spit out.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay, well, we go. It occupied our thoughts and hearts from all of last episode. Your real dad time adventures.
Real time.
You've now had the holiday.
Yep.
You've had your experiences. So what can you tell us? What can you tell us about being a dad who believes and operates in real time when those around you do not?
Look, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a holiday as much as it was me trying to wrangle everyone to get to places that we needed to be. Because our family, consistently, because there was 19 people on this holiday.
Horrifying.
Our family.
Horrifying.
Yeah. Our family was consistently, we batted 100 as being the last people to be where we needed to be
at
any one particular time. Now, we were on holidays. And so there wasn't a hell of a lot to organise prior to just leaving the villa and being where the bus needed us to be with, 2 minutes to spare, three minutes to spare. But we would rock up and everyone would be there and they'd be waiting for us. Now, what
That's
I
OPT,
will say...
That's OPT, right? Other people's time.
Yes. Now, what I will say is that one of the families that we were with had two... extra real-time parents.
Oh, now, okay. Yeah, we're leaning into this. Okay.
Now, what I mean by extra real-time is that not only did they have real-time, but then they tacked extra real-time onto that time and so were literally arriving at places hours prior to when we had organised to be there.
Right. Now, how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable because I knew real time was now no longer real time. My real time was time.
Oh, wow.
So I
now you know how everyone in the family feels.
But I maintain you were still real time.
Well, you're exactly right, Alex.
They're not real time. They're the ones with the problem, man. Don't put yourself down, man. It's their problem, not yours.
Did you start looking at them the way the rest of your family looks at you?
Here's the question, Wigo. As being in the middle of the real-time conundrum that you are, who do you have more empathy for now? The extra real-time people waiting for you?
Or your own family?
Or your own family who have to put up with your real-timeness?
Wow.
Wigo,
good question, and I don't... straight off the top of my head, my first thought was the extra real-time people because they really want to be on time, which is where I want to be. I want to be on time. I don't want to be the last person to walk into the room and everyone else is waiting for us. So
in a quiet moment, did you not sidle up to them and just go, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
Did you also think, I'm going to get there 5 hours early? And so when they turn up, you're already there with your real-timeness.
It's like they could read my mind. But, of course, my real-time was nothing compared to their extra real time. Like, it could have been 5 hours and they still would have been sitting there.
Right.
You know, it was like someone was calling the shots. It's like they had a scout at our room, and as soon as I would make a move towards where we needed to be, they'd all shuffle off and make sure.
So how many were in their group?
Six.
So this puts
seven.
This puts us in a position of having to ask ourselves now, finally, you know, in an unwantedly, when does real time become just insane?
Yeah, great question, because I'm thinking about that right now. Reflecting back on one of the reflections that I had when I got back was, I really loved that holiday, but fuck, it was intense. Because there was always somewhere to be, which meant there was always, like, time was always in play. And there were three elements of time in play.
But surely that's the essence of real time, is that you give yourself enough time. You're not being ridiculous by being hours early, because that's wasted time as well. See, that's for me, I don't think that's real time. Real time is estimating the exact amount of time that you need to be somewhere and that being correct. I thought that was the essence of real time, not just turning up early to things. Well, anyone can do that. Anyone can fill a container with, like, I can say, oh, there's four bits of pasta and put it in an enormous container. That's not showing my capacitator. You could put chlorine in the pool every day. It doesn't mean it's the right amount of chlorine you put in the pool every day.
That is beautiful. You know, it's
very well put. Ellis, very, very well put. And I'm beginning to see the error of my ways. But again, I'm too late now.
You're not necessarily in error here.
Yeah.
I don't think. Like, in my mind, and tell me if anyone else is with me here, the calculating of real time is your starting point is what's the worst possible scenario that could happen here? Allow time for that, and then when that doesn't happen, anything else is a bonus. So absolutely, if that thing doesn't happen and we're at the airport early, that's fine. But everyone just needs to know that if that thing had happened, we still would have been fine because I did the real-time calculations.
Yeah, we had some real-time.
And I think it's also taking into account, like, a realistic amount of time. It's not being unrealistic. Oh, it's going to take me, I think that where it started was, it's not going to take me 10 minutes to do these three jobs. Realistically, it's going to take me 45 minutes to do them, and allowing that time.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying this: these other people are not real time, because
they're not real time.
But they're not. So that, and I agree. What your both of your explanations of real time are correct, but when an additional element of being in a group and going to a place all together gets brought into the equation, my real time, or like the real time, we've said we're going to be there for midday. So I'm like, all right, well, we're going to be down there at 10 to 12. We need to leave our villa at 11:45 to be there at 10 to 12. And we leave at 11:45.
Yeah. But who's deciding this? In a scenario where you've got three time zones operating,
yes,
who wins out?
Well, whoever makes the time first, right? That's the thing. It's like, all right, we're going to do this thing. Okay, no worries. And then someone goes, we're going to meet here at this time. And it's like, hang on a second. All right, that's our time. Now, that is the time that everyone works towards.
Yeah, but you've said that, right? This is the problem with all of us. In your head, you're like, everyone heard that. Everyone has that locked in their mind to go. No one else has. They're like, oh, yep, around, what time are we leaving? Around 12, half past 12?
Yep.
Whatever. We're on holidays. Who cares? And you're like, everyone heard that. It's locked in. Yeah. Let's go. And then you get to that moment, you're like, I thought we all agreed that your brains are the same as mine.
Correct.
And you're like, nope. What? I haven't got my shoe.
So did it almost feel like your role had been taken away from you for the holidays?
Oh, good question.
I felt like there was a keeping up with the Joneses element to timekeeping.
They were judging your poor real timing.
Yes.
Well, I've got to say, William, based on your example scenario, I'm kind of with them. If you're saying that you're leaving it, you're leaving the villa at 1:45, that's not real time. You know that's not real time.
But you know holiday family, real time.
Holiday real
time. Well, that's Ellis, great question.
Still real time.
Do
it's
I know
not
my
airport
family?
Related real time.
No, that's true.
No, it's not. But I'd say tour when other people are waiting for you is equally as.
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wiggins.
That's all right.
Retort, Wiggo.
Well, my first I went to somewhere else. As soon as you said airport real time, I remember driving into the airport on the morning we were leaving and missing the turn for parking.
Don't tell me that, Wiggins. Oh my God, I'll be having nightmares for weeks.
Oh, well.
Were you in the hotel directly opposite the airport?
No.
You could have walked over and done a reconnaissance mission beforehand.
We were near domestic and then had to drive all the way around international.
Gotcha.
And I was like, and we got around there and I was like, and parking, they had two signs for parking.
I'm going to drive up there on the weekend and do a practice run.
Just stay, look, Maddie, just stay in the right-hand lane. As soon as you go into the airport, just stay in the right-hand lane. All right. Or right-hand lane.
I don't know. It's really bad.
Yeah, okay.
And then what happened, Wiggins? Then you had to go around and then you were still there on time by law. Because you had
absolutely,
time.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. Gotcha. Yeah, but that 90 seconds of going up to...
We're
going to
miss the plane.
No, it's just sort of like, fuck, am I going to end up back out on the fucking freeway? Right. Am I going to end up in Newcastle? That was my first thought. And
just, you can't turn around, you're in Canberra, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. You're just going to follow the loop around.
But that's fair. Certainly the domestic airport car pass too. That first turn is really soon. Really soon.
Super quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like... That's got to come into your real-time calculations. If you daydream for a second, you're going to have to do at least one extra lap.
That's right.
Exactly.
Which is a nightmare.
Also, like, you know, you lose esteem doing extra laps.
Well,
Buckland,
you couldn't have put it any better. We drove into the parking lot, and who's standing there? Everyone.
Oh.
Everyone's standing there in the valet parking going, where have you guys been?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, fucking missed the turn.
Isn't that funny? Meanwhile, that...
and then you're like, I'll show
that
them.
Extra time couple's been there for 3 hours and has to pay an extra...
Yeah, they're already in Bali.
Their flight hasn't left yet and they're already over there. That's how early they are.
What are we calling? We need a name for that, by the way. Is it extra real time? Because I don't think that suits. It's not real time. We can't call it extra real time. Is it just MT, mental time?
It's wasted.
I think it's bizarro time.
It's unreal time is what it
unreal
is.
Unreal time.
Unreal time.
Unreal time.
You're
That's
working
right.
on real time, they're working on unreal time.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like the bizarro Superman. There's real time.
That's right. Yeah.
So, were there kind of moments, even if we're talking like 10-second slots, where you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great.
I had a couple of massages that were...
10 seconds.
Well, one thing I learned, right?
Real tough.
She came in... She came in carrying 10 shopping bags, and he was like, "Oh, I'm done."
Real-time massages. What do they cost?
They are included.
Nice.
All right,
that's great.
It was a good time. It was a really good time. There were a lot of parenting moments.
To give us a bit of that parenting on holiday. Like, you have to. Do you have to walk the line between? Being more lax, more relaxed dad?
Do you think that having other people around, did that influence? So I'm worried about that because we're having a few people around on the holiday as well, but we're going. And I think that I'm always very conscious of other people more so than myself and my own kids. Like, I'm always kind of, especially like at family do's, and as I say, other people around, I'm always very, come on, just kind of behave yourself around these other people when it's just us. I'm like, oh yeah, do whatever the fuck you want, I don't care. Yeah. So do you think that played an influence maybe into any kind of tensions with the kids or anything? Or not so much?
Well, so the families that we went with, we have spent a lot of time with. Like, they're the very, you know, very close family and friends. And so there's been a lot of parenting done, a lot of parenting under the bridge, you know, and we've seen each other parent in many different ways. So there's no holes barred parenting.
Oh, okay.
In some instances.
I don't know whether the title is under the bridge parenting or no holes barred parenting, yeah. Still not quite sure what under the bridge parenting is, but we had
a couple of instances.
Anthony Kiedis parenting.
That's where.
Either that or troll parenting, which you take.
Yeah. So, in the first couple of days, our kids had just gotten in each other's way on purpose. Like, there was real niggle.
Mm.
From our kids towards each other. There was no niggle around all the other kids. It just seemed like there was just this needling going on between our kids. And that was really, that was very difficult to take.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a couple of blow-ups around gratitude and around just understanding what...
God, that must suck.
Like, it was
on a holiday in Bali, and you've got to be going over gratitude.
It was fucked. It really was.
So were they having a whinge about rubbish stuff?
It's fucking too hot. Oh, I have to sleep in the same room as my brother. I've got a fucking... anything that they could pick at that either wasn't fair, that wasn't...
they didn't each have their own villa, is that...
Pretty much. That was
pretty much, yeah.
Like, and so then they, you know, yeah. So that was very, very difficult. Like, and then it all culminated on day three, where my 15-year-old and 12-year-old boys had a proper kerfuffle and flipped a table in a restaurant during during a lunch. That's why we were going to Bali. We were celebrating 340th birthdays in the last year.
And we were at that lunch, was it?
This was the big lunch. Oh, so that's the lunch? Jeez. I didn't know you were going to talk about this, by the way. Because you told us
we were tiptoeing around it. We didn't want to go. Tell us about your kids flipping a table.
Directly about your kids.
Was there food or drinks on the table that was
flipped? So they finished at this stage. So the kids got served first. And we were all... eating, like, we were sort of halfway through our lunch at that stage, and it all happened in an instant, and all of a sudden there's a table on the ground, Harvey and Louie are at each other's throats, and
just throwing
did
hands.
You apply the if you crush it you eat it rule?
He hadn't heard the rule yet.
Yeah.
Come on. We need to... this is a monthly podcast. We need to get these timely life lessons out faster.
And so at that moment, Linda and I grabbed a child each, took them outside, gave them a dressing down.
Yeah. Mm. They start feeding you. It's awesome.
And we just walked back in and said, we're leaving, we're taking them, you guys stay, we're done. And, you know, you have those stupid thoughts of how quickly can I get one of these children back on a plane and out of the fuck.
Just one.
Just send one of them.
Just one of them.
Yeah.
Well, one of them took responsibility for his actions immediately.
Yeah, right.
And was was highly embarrassed, as were Linda and I. Mm. And... was very apologetic and understood the impact of what he had done. And the other one couldn't understand why he was in trouble.
Cool.
All right. Without needing to go into too much detail, are you happy with your parenting around this situation?
Some of it, yes. Some of it, no, in that, and mainly the accountability piece. Like, there, for something that was pretty, like, that was bad. Like, that's the, probably the worst scenario I've been involved in with those two, like, really having a crack at each other. Mm. And I don't think we held them as accountable as what we should have. But also the situation was very difficult in that we're in Bali on a holiday.
Yeah.
Like, what's the correct amount? Or, like...
Yeah, I think that's the thing, though. Like, whenever hands are thrown, there is an immediate escalation of stress amongst everyone. And we see it at school all the time. Like, you know, it's a big... Everyone needs that kind of calm down time. So do you think that leaving straight away, do you still think that was the best move at the time? Was it, or did you think that that was kind of, if that was the big lunch, do you think that that was possibly a, do you feel that that was an overreaction or?
Flying to another country to go to a lunch to celebrate birthdays and that shit happened.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like, elite. You know.
It was, Rich, I think leaving the lunch was the right thing to do. Yeah. I don't think, and more so for Linz and myself, like, we needed to get ourselves out of that space so that we didn't just go
for it. You started feet throwing them.
Yeah. Well, what, like, how did you go back? That's what I wanted to know.
So we separated. So Linz took a child and I took a child, and we continued to give them a gobful as we walked back to the villa. And then when we got back to the villa, we switched and we continued to give them a gobful.
Right. But what I mean is, like, then going back to the group. What was it like going back to the group?
Like the next day? Was it like...
Yeah. Not even the next day, like an hour later, right? So,
right.
And is the case...
That's good. Oh, that's good, though. That's...
Yeah, like, as is the case with stuff like this, because we're all so close, people started to filter back in half an hour, 40 minutes later. They'd finished lunch and we're just like, oh, what are we doing here? Let's go back. So they all started coming back. And and that's when you get a bit of an insight into what's going on in everyone else's lives as well, because other parents came in and said, and, like, we apologised, and they're like, please don't apologise for something like that. We've already... sat our kids down three times in 2 days and blown up at them for, you know, X, Y, or Z. And it's like, it doesn't make you feel any better about what's happened, but it gives you a little bit of perspective as to what everyone else is going through at the same time as well. Mm. It's just that no one else's children jumped on each other and, you know, started some world championship wrestling.
Is it wrong that... The thing that I'm kind of most interested in is whether your youngest one made a good showing of himself. Because the older one's obviously older and does a fair bit of karate.
Correct.
So, well, how did young fella go?
He went pretty well.
In or what?
He went pretty well. Like, he, and this is his technique, right, is that he's a big human and so he's using size to his advantage.
Oh, so he's a grappler.
Yeah.
More than a striker.
Correct. Whereas halves needs a little bit of area to be able to get his you know.
He needs to say, right, you stand there and when dad says go
and bow.
Go.
Wait for the bow.
But whereas the younger one's got the streets in him.
he's got fire and brimstone in him.
Mm.
Like, and it's...
Well, that's what Catholic schools do to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's, very interesting. I didn't think you were going to talk about it. I'm glad you did.
Good family holiday, though?
Oh, well, hey, look, we're planning another one. So
Jesus.
It's like pregnancy. Once it's done, you forget all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Lou's already in training.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Montage City in his room.
Now, you know what I'm going to ask, Ben?
Around.
Ben, you know what I'm going to ask, mate?
Oh, Stu,
holidays coming to an end.
Yep.
You got to pack everyone up and get them to the airport. Tell us a bit about that.
Look, I'm so glad you asked, because I was thinking so much about what happened at at that lunch that I'd forgotten about what happened at the airport when we...
Yes. So,
to give you a little bit of perspective, we had to check out in the morning from our villa, and our flight wasn't until 10 o'clock that night. So we had a big chunk of time. So
that's real time, no man's land.
Absolutely it is. Mm-hmm. So what is no man's land, Dad?
Again,
do?
Before you say anything, this is exactly the situation we'll be facing on our flight back. Is at, I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I've got to leave the hotel that day at like 10.
Yep.
All right, carry on. I'm taking notes.
So we hired a room. Each family hired a room at the hotel that was attached to the airport.
Ah.
Okay, so it was like $75, and we then got a bus to the airport. We were able to check in and then go and use all the facilities in the hotel up until the time that we needed to actually go into the airport. Now, the wonderful thing about this particular hotel is that it has its own security check that allows you to go straight into the airport. Mm. You do one security check and then you're in check-in, basically.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. So we spent the afternoon eating and drinking in the pool, and then got ready and wandered into the airport. Tickety-boo. The problem is that we walked into the airport, walked into check-in, and the flight got delayed literally as we walked into check-in. The board changed, and so then we had an hour and a half before we were going to be able to check in.
Oh. But okay, that's fine. That's no bearing on your time organization skills, so you're sweet.
Absolutely. So we thought, let's go and get something to eat. What we hadn't realized was that one part of the airport is air-conditioned, and the part that we were then going into was not. So we had to go out.
The part with all the food isn't.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Nah. So we went out, which is basically... into everything waft. Barley waft.
Everything waft.
There's your title.
So we went out, sat down, had some food. But one of the issues was that Louis had decided to get into his flight clothes prior to actually getting...
Is the first rule of flight clothes is you don't talk about them?
Yeah. Yeah, flight clothes, that's right.
Flight clothes.
Now, so we went back into check-in. We finally get allowed to go and check-in, and we go to check-in, and Louis goes, I don't feel real great. And so Lynn's went, I'm going to take you over here. You're just overheating. We're going to change you from your tracksuit pants. We're going to take you from your tracksuit pants into some shorts. Why really the hell are you wearing tracksuit pants? Do not know.
Oh, God. Right? Put him on the change table.
Someone happened to notice that, right?
Oh, my God.
Someone happened to notice from the airline and came up to me and said, what's wrong with your son? Oh, no. I was like, he's just overheated. And they're like,
got a fever.
Oh, he's not well. I said, no. He's just overheated.
Look at what he's wearing.
He's wearing tracksuit pants. He is overheated.
He's wearing flight clothes.
I'm going to get him out of the tracksuit pants. Exactly. He's got his flight clothes on. They didn't want to hear that.
Yeah. Sorry, what's he wearing?
Back of the villa.
I'm not allowed to talk about it.
No, we're not going to talk
about
that.
Back of the villa, flight clothes, here, flight clothes.
He's not a Datsun engine, sir. You can't just say he's overheated.
So I'm at the check-in desk, checking everyone in.
Oh, Jesus.
Talking to the hostess about Rose's anaphylaxis and making sure that we've got the right food for her on the flight, which was ridiculous. But anyway, or while I'm talking to her, old mate that had noticed Louis goes and gets a wheelchair, takes the wheelchair over to him, makes him sit in the wheelchair.
What?
And says, we have to go and take him to quarantine and get him checked out.
How long is this before your flight?
Great question, Stu. So, now...
real time?
What's happening in my mind
the real time at this sand moment? Is like, why is the sand going faster?
Exactly. Someone's taken a sledgehammer to the
right.
sand.
That's right.
The sand in the hourglass is now all over the ground. So, Lynn's has come over and gone, they want to take him to quarantine and check him out. And I'm like, what? And then finally I get away from check-in. I go over... And they're like, we've got to take him to check him. We need a doctor to check him out to make sure that he's going to be all right to fly on a 6-hour flight. And I'm like, he's going to be fucking fine. It's 10 o'clock at night. He's going to fall asleep. Like, he's not sick.
Real time,
motherfuckers.
So how long was it before the flight?
So this was 2 hours before the flight.
Right.
Now, at that moment, they've separated us, right? So he's gone, we have to take him into quarantine. I'm like, fuck, all right. Well, so I've given Lynn's her passport, Rose's passport, and Harvey's passport. We've gone into customs, and I've looked, and there's a line, like a fucking huge snake line over on the right-hand side. Oh, and then the guys grabbed me and Louie and taken me to the line, like to the special line.
Okay, real-time line.
Well, like an unreal timeline. And I've turned around and Lynn's and Harv's and Rose are at the end of the customs line. Lynn's is freaking out because I'm going through with Lou. No idea where we're going. Oh my God. We get through there and the guy just walks off down a hallway with Louie in a wheelchair. And I'm like, where are you going? I just said, stop. Where are you going? He's like, I'm taking him to the doctor. I said, my family is out here in the customs line having no idea what the hell we're doing, where we're going, how long we're going to be, whether or not you're actually going to let us out of this room. My son had tracksuit pants on. He is hot. That is the only issue that we are dealing with at this moment. And he's like, he sort of looked at me. And Louie's looking at me like freaking out. He's like, Dad, I do not want to be in this wheelchair. And I said, then stand up, son.
It's a miracle.
Stand up.
It's a miracle. I say, be healed, my son.
He stood up and the guy sort of looked at him. And I went, there is nothing wrong with him. Please let me stay here and wait for my family to come through customs. We are fine.
Oh, God.
He got three other people over. And cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. And then went... Then looked at me. So after 10 minutes, he's looked at me and gone, so you think he's going to be all right? Fucking hell. Yes, I think he's going to be all right. And they just let us go. Yeah,
well, his lower half's a bit sweaty. But
he's got some sweaty dads, but, you know...
Yep.
I was hoping he'd be playing along like Ruprecht in the wheelchair.
Yeah, he was stabbing himself in the eye with a pencil.
I thought he would have got a bit of Daniel Day-Lewis work, but really commit.
Oh, look at him. He's gone all method.
Jeez, man.
That
great.
Is unbelievable. Feeling a bit hot, straight into a wheelchair.
In Bali. You got tracksuit pants on.
Where every second person's bowels are exploding.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was really intense. I think I'd pushed that out of my mind. But then, tell me this. What happens when you get on a plane?
Oh, dear. You fart.
Yep, correct. Thank you. I'm done.
Is Louis out of the wheelchair at this point?
Yeah, is he all right? Yeah.
Louis's out of the wheelchair.
Dad.
Everyone's fine. Everyone's really
Dad.
Happy. Getting on to
I'm not going
to
make it, Dad.
You're a good boy.
I've got sweaty nuts, Dad. I'm not going to make it. There's no way I'm going to make it.
Tell Harvey I got him square in the chin.
He's a prick.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to haunt his fucking ass.
Just a teabagging ghost.
Get these hot balls on your chin, Tom.
I might cut this bit.
Taste my sweaty balls.
He'll never sleep again. He'll hear the squeaking of the wheels. He's all his life. The telltale wheels.
And then a table falling over in the distance. The wheels.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck.
So you got home all right.
So, he didn't die. He was fine.
Well, because Rose was listed
as... Sorry, you said what happens on a plane. What?
Yeah, right. Okay,
so you get on a plane.
So we all... Plane got delayed again. We're all sitting around. Everyone's getting really fucking agitated. And then the lady... that had so much issue in regards to figuring out whether or not we could get no peanuts to Rose on the flight, found us in before we were about to get on the plane. And then in front of everyone just picked us up, our entire, like the five of us, and took us onto the plane first. Oh. Just because Rose is anaphylactic. And I was like, this is fucking great.
Wow.
This is unreal. Excellent. All right, well, let's figure out where we're going to sit. Now, they just assigned our seating for us. But, of course, we have to have one last fucking stink, don't we?
Oh, God.
Well, who was that? You?
So, let me guess. Your children got on the plane empty and went, we can sit wherever we want?
No.
Uh-huh.
Our children got on the plane and decided that, well, I'd like to sit near the window. No, I'd like to sit near the window. No, I don't want to sit in that seat again. I want to sit here. I want to sit there.
Yeah.
And, of course, Dad just goes, I don't really give a shit. It's 11:30. So I sat in the middle of the fucking, the middle of the row.
Yeah.
Like, so it's 2-4-2.
Right.
Yeah.
I sat in... like in the middle four seats, I sat in the second seat from the left with my knees around my fucking ears.
It was a Jetstar flight?
No, we went, we were Qantas on the way back.
Oh, that's all right.
And so I did have a little bit of space, but I also had Louis next to me. And then.
He's a large human.
Harvey next to
in
him.
His wheelchair?
And then Linz and Rose over at the window.
Dad! And,
you know what the wonderful thing is? Sometimes karma just comes and, you know, says everything's going to be okay because no cunt's out in the fucking wind in the seat next to me. So I had a spare seat next to me the entire way home.
Oh, Jesus. That sounds like a great holiday. How many days? How many days was it?
10 days.
10 days, right. Because you're just giving us highlights of a few moments.
I've played all the hits. Yeah, right? I've just played all the hits just now. The rest of it was fucking unreal. Yeah, it was a great, awesome holiday.
You say all that and you said you're planning another one.
Absolutely. Like they were the moments where I was like, I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the time, I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a blast. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, very good. All right. Well, Matt, is there much you can tell us about your dad prep for your trip?
Not much. This is the dad prep I'm in at the moment. This will give you some dad insight. I've spent so long planning this trip. It's 3 weeks away, and everything's done. Now I feel a sense of unease.
Yeah. Now, is that unreal time then? Is that too far ahead?
Well, not really, because, you know, like all flights, accommodation, travel expenses, all taken care of.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm bus playing.
But it's like, what do I have to do? Like, should I be? What is there anything else? Like, no.
Well, I mean, I did this today. It's not, you know, same scale, but you kind of get yourself ready for something so early.
Yeah.
And then you stop, and you're nervous in that period going, well, I got ready so early, there must be something I'm forgetting.
That's right. Giles asked me yesterday, do we need a visa? to go to Japan? Oh, you're asking me a question now, right? That's when you get to ask me questions. That you're starting to think about planning. That's when you plan. I'm in Unreal Time for 9 months, but it's more about like all my family are just like like you said, we go like every day. You had to do something. There was something happening.
Yep.
Well, we're not doing that. I keep saying to them, "What do you want to do? What do you want to see?" And they're like, "Eh, want nothing. Whatever. We'll just go and be in a different country. It'd be cool."
Cherry blossoms.
Like, okay.
Yep.
Great.
Harajuku girls.
I hope when we're over there, that's how you feel, and you don't go, "This is I'm bored," or like, "What else are we going to do?" And then, or look to me and say, "What have we got planned?"
That's right.
And I'll say, "I haven't played anything.
We're here, aren't we? We want to meet Hard Gay Razor Ramon, and then that's it.
If only. Yeah. That's where I'm at the moment, listening to Wigo's story about, you know, driving, missing a turn off and having to do one single loop for 90 seconds. That'll keep me awake for a while. Because I've looked at, like, the parking map, and it seems very confusing even before he said that, Wigo. I'd already looked at it, and I thought, I don't understand this map at all.
No.
Yeah. Looks different to the, if you go on Google Maps, that looks different to the map that I've got here. Okay, whatever.
That's not dad-friendly. We should start boycotting businesses that aren't dad-friendly.
The whole thing is, and Wigo, you would know, and it's the same with every holiday. Like, the first day, the travel day, is just, until you get into your place and shut the door behind you, is just, I hope we can get into the place that we're booked. I hope it's actually there. I hope it's real. Yes, exactly.
We don't turn up and they go, "Who the fuck are you?"
That's right. Yeah, there's already people there. Like, all of this stuff. You're like, until you get there. Japan? Like,
that's not a country anymore. What are you talking about?
That's right. Japan?
All right. And Rich, you went, how far to your trip?
About the same, 4 weeks, I think. Six weeks. Sorry, yeah. So we're off to Vietnam, so doing the... Yeah.
So this is your midnight flight out of...
Yes, so midnight flight. And as I say, the travel to Melbourne is freaking me out.
Yeah.
I've just finished...
I wish you were married to my wife, Ellis. When she said... So when I asked
3 o'clock.
If you... What time you've got to drive? What is it? 6.5 hours and your flight's at... midnight, when would you leave? Midnight. And she was like, I don't know, 3 o'clock. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, well, if it's 6 hours, then you get there at 9:30, and the flight's at 12. I'm like, yeah, but what if something goes wrong? She's like, what would go wrong? It's like, yep, exactly.
Why would it go wrong? So, yeah. But I've also just finished planning. We're doing a Europe trip next year, and that's been, that's even more...
Yeah,
that's daunting. Like trying to link everything up there with flights and stuff. But yeah, it'll be. We'll save that. Put a pin in that one for the moment.
Oh, definitely. That's.
Can I just mention?
It's gonna be a 6 month arc.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is gonna be sizzle. Yeah. Can I just mention that I had an amazing sandwich in Adelaide?
And yes, I'll leave it at that.
Because it was the best thing. And it's the most dad thing I think I've ever eaten, but it was just the most perfect sandwich. And I'd love to get some sponsorship from these people, but Lucia's Deli in Adelaide Central Markets, absolutely incredible. Just prosciutto, mozzarella about 2 centimetres thick, slices of beautiful, the most precious tomatoes about, once again, probably about 13 mil thick tomatoes, huge wad of basil and delicious fresh olive oil on Italian bread. Just magnificent.
Their I love that Ellis is measuring his sandwiches.
Oh.
Yeah, he's measure.
Tape measure in his pocket because it's just such a
sandwich tape measure.
I've got millimetre marks on my fingernails so I can just pull it straight up against the different fillings on the sandwich.
Does Ellis have a Coke nail? No, that's his tomato marker.
It's his sandwich nail.
I used to have a prawn nail. That was my big thing in the restaurant. I used to have a prawn nail. So during the summer, I'd make sure that my thumbnail was razor sharp because that was how I would cut prawns.
Buckland's face. It's like he's been dumped into an old pie.
People eat the prawns know that they've just been kind of nailed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How else do you peel a prawn?
Yeah, I know.
Ellis, I've got a question for you. Did you go full dad and tell all of the staff about how good the sandwich was?
Unfortunately, no. It was incredibly busy.
Right.
Deli, so it's like there was.
We've got to up your dad's stake because it doesn't matter how busy the deli is. If you can talk to a lot of people.
Let me tell you, every other single person I've met since I've eaten that sandwich until now has heard about this sandwich. So I don't know if that kind of makes up for it, but it was. Everyone knows.
Incredible.
Tony is sick of hearing about this sandwich, and I'm never going to stop talking about it because.
Lucia's Deli, hurrah!
Yeah. Did you buy one to take home and take to bed with you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, take a moment alone with the sandwich.
So,
this is only good for us because if we're talking about getting them on board as a sponsor, that might make the melted people in Fishwick up their offer.
Well.
We could have a bidding war going on. Unless we break out into kind of our sponsorship categories into very specific sandwiches.
Now, Ellis, was it toasted or not? Was it fresh?
Not toasted, absolutely fresh.
Well, there you go. We got a fresh and toasted.
Yeah, battle.
Fresh and toasted sponsorship.
Yep.
Outstanding.
Full toasted exclusivity for the lucky winner.
I want to know how much cheese.
They put a sandwich press in Lucia's. Oh, no, our sponsorship's gone to hell.
All right. Shall I save the bullying or shall we do it quickly?
Do it quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to know about bullying.
Well, it's. We'll keep it quick. I just want to know whether I am in bad territory or whether my parenting is innovative here. Dylan was getting picked on a little bit by some of the kids at his school who are also on his soccer team. And, you know, we were talking about it a bit and I said, well, you know, I mean, you can say something back. You don't just have to stand there and cop it if you don't want to. And he was kind of talking about not knowing really what to say. And I went, well, let's go through them and I'll help you with a few insults if you want them, just to have up your sleeve, just in case. Now, concept level, before I get down to the... Before I give you the insults, concept level there.
Mm.
Bad idea?
Great idea. I'm imagining you with a pin board or a whiteboard with all of their pictures on there about to absolutely dissect their foibles and... Yeah. Making sure that you've got a name and you've got their social media accounts in front of you. This is a magnificent idea.
If
you're going to be a prick, you're going to get it in real life.
That's right. I also like the idea that you've got like a tiered system where you go, well, would you be comfortable calling them this? Well, you are, yeah. Well, let's try. Would you try?
How do you
going
feel about this?
Oh, further. Right.
No,
that's too much. That. All right, well, let's bring it back. All right.
We'll bring it back. It's okay.
I've curated this selection of words for you. Okay, so there's three main ones, and I think the insults are okay. They're not abusive too much, they're not sweary.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think of these, all right?
Okay.
So the main one, he's got kind of beady eyes, right? Yeah. So I said, if he teases you, Dylan, this is what you say. Say, look, I don't mind getting teased, but not by rat-faced kids. All right? So that's the insult for him.
Mm-hmm.
The next kid's called Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insult for him is, sounds like your parents wanted a posh car more than a kid.
That's good. And, I like that. I wanted to know where you were going to go with it.
That's
I
right.
I like it.
And then you tag on it with, to be honest, they probably still do.
Mm.
Excellent work.
There you go. Yeah. So there's that one.
That's your walk away.
Yep. Yes.
And then the last kid's is just like, the insult was, you know, you're allowed to take the bowl off your head after your mum's finished cutting your hair.
Excellent.
Because he's got a very kind of flat kind of hair situation going on top of his head. So they're not too bad, are they? I mean, they're not... Teachers, are they going to get him into too much trouble if he...
Year seven?
Yeah. He's not going to get in trouble. I think the rat-faced mum might get him punched.
We get you, rat-faced kid.
Well, no, if it's a rat-faced kid, he's not punching anyone. He might gnaw at his neck a little bit, but...
it might kind of, yeah.
So this is what happens, Buckland, is the kid will come to you who's been called a name, and they will often say... They're calling me a name, and then you say, "What is it?" And then they tell you, and you stifle a laugh.
Yeah.
And you say, "That's not great. All right, well, I'll have a word to them." And then you go and talk to that kid, and you say, "I'm sorry, but he said you were calling him Dobby the house elf." Well, yeah, he does kind of look like a house elf. Well, be that as it may, it's not nice. You know, that kind of thing. That might be true.
Truth is not a defence.
No, so let's not do that. And then so they're in trouble, but then, believe me, the teachers go and go, Dylan said, rat face git. It was, let's call him RFG from now on. So that's what happens behind the closed doors at schools.
Right. All right, thank you. Look, I thought I was on shaky ground, but...
I think it's good.
All right. Very good.
Even if he never uses it, I think that you've shown that you're an ally. Oh. And that's the most important thing you can do to anyone being bullied. And that's awesome.
I doubt he'll use it, but
absolutely.
It made him laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Excellent. And that's all the best. Even better. That's the best part of the parenting.
And also, what might happen is they might be teasing him, and in his head, he's chuckling.
He's thinking, yeah.
He's thinking, you rat faced git.
Look at his rat faced git in the bowl head.
I say, I got bowl head.
All right, look, quick bits of admin before we're out of here. Our friends over at the Strange Times podcast are celebrating their 500th episode. I'm saying it now because they may come up with their 500th before the next one comes out. Who knows?
Hmm.
I do not like their irregular schedule.
No.
So... yeah, I'll say it now and possibly have to say it next episode as well, you inconsiderate bastards. But yes, Strange Times, they've been our friends for a very long time. 500 episodes sounds mental.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. And, this is a monthly podcast, so if you listen to this and you go, oh, damn, I don't get to hear anything good for another month, damn it. You can go and check out the Swingin' on the Flippity Flop podcast. Mm-hmm. That's myself and my friend Rachel talking about the 90s and, basically bathing in nostalgia and forgetting that we're old and sad and in talking about when we were young and funky and key. So, go check that out. It's on all the same places you listen to this gear.
Mm.
Friends. See you next month, or whenever Matt gets back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think we need a pre-trip one crammed in there, maybe. Mm. How many more weeks did you say, Matty? 3 weeks.
3, yeah.
Oh, maybe not then.
Well, it sounds like Matt's already done all his prep.
Yeah,
that's right. So he's good to go. He'll be able to pod from the plane.
What if we do it like?
Can we do it from Japan?
Can we do one from the airport?
Oh.
You've got Wi-Fi at the airport.
Yeah, free Wi-Fi.
And you'll
there'll
have
be delays.
You'll have 5 hours to kill.
Yeah, that's right. Flight leaves at 10:20 in the morning. I'll be there the night before.
whatever happens, we'll be back at some point soon. And remember, if you have to do something, do your real-time calculations beforehand. Please, for the love of God. Farewell, everybody.
Farewell.
Bye. Love you.
Oh, that was good. Thank you, fellas.
Oh, that was a jolly laugh.
That was very enjoyable. Thank you. Great stories, Wiggins. Really, really good stories.
Louis the ghost in the wheelchair.
Louis in the wheelchair. That was fucking awesome.
Hang on.
That's
so
crazy.
Are you serious? You had forgotten about that until...
Oh, man, so many things happened. Like, I Well, I had, madness. Yeah, I'd forgotten about it. So many things happened.
Or repressed it, as you said. I think
It was probably more. Like, it was fucking so stressful. It was so stressful.
So fucking unbelievable. Someone wearing two.
But just him saying. But he was saying, "Stand up."
Anyone else in this wheelchair? Like, oh my god!
Then stand it literally up, just feels son. That's what I said.
It's so cinematic. Stand up, son. I feel all right, Dad. Stand up, son.
Put your hands on already, him, and away you go. Jesus.
He's already practicing his Patrick Stewart impersonation.
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.